This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, May 24th, 2017, The Ascension of Our Lord Jesus Christ, celebrated on the Eve, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the Father of Glory give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know the hope to which he has called you. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This day on which we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven, you can think and conjecture all we want on the event in and of itself. I mean, try to picture in your mind's eye being out in a field with someone that you know, that you love, and a cloud comes and picks them up off the ground and takes them up out of your sight. Just that event goes so far beyond what we are capable of understanding, not to mention the fact that it was attended by angels, that it was attended by the apostles to whom we celebrate feast days. And many disciples were there when our Lord was taken up into heaven. We can delve into that and try to picture it in our minds, and that's a good thing. And we can look at the stained glass and the pictures that have rendered this particular event. But just like everything else that our Lord Jesus Christ did in his life, everything is practical. It teaches us something. It teaches us something about our Lord Jesus Christ. It teaches us something about ourselves. It teaches us something about his one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The ascension into heaven of our Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate act. The resurrection and the ascension are the act of our God glorifying the Son. And a lot of people get kind of caught up on the Easter story, that oh, the glorification of the Son is his passion and death. No, that is his humiliation. His burial is a humiliation. Our Lord is begun to be glorified when he is resurrected from the dead, and then ultimately the icing on the whole cake of this whole Easter season is his ascension into heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I said, everything he did teaches us something. It is practical. Even this, but he always teaches us. He always prefaces what's about to happen. And his preface for this one in the Gospel of Matthew is that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority on heaven and earth kind of dashes this whole thing about the separation of church and state deal, right? All authority has been given to me on earth, okay? Jesus Christ has authority over everything in the created order and in heaven. We say in the Creed that he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father. That is not a description of posture, him being seated at the right hand of the Father. It is talking about his permanently being seated at the hand of God in authority. It's not something that's going to be fleeting. It is something that is permanent. Permanent, eternal, everlasting, and absolutely complete, this authority that has been given our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and on earth. We can relish into that. We can delve into it. We can try to get real theological about it. But that's above us. No pun intended. Our Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is ever making intercession for us. He has all authority that he claimed. But as I said, this is practical. It has to do with us. And in that prayer that we heard St. Paul pray in the second reading, and that's what it is, the reading from Ephesians chapter 1, is a prayer that St. Paul is saying. And he starts it out by saying, may the Father of glory give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. May he open your eyes to these truths that you are supposed to understand about our Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The hope to which he has called you. Every time we speak of hope, whether it's on a side note or the primary focus, as Paul's prayer is, that when we talk about hope as Catholics, it means something so much more different than the hope of the world. The world's hope is nothing but a desire that something will happen. I desire this to happen. I hope this, that, or the other thing. When you hope like that, it is generally a desire for things that are not going to come to fruition. You are not going to get what you desire, generally speaking. That's human hope. For us, hope is so much more profound, so much more deep, because for us, yes, there's the aspect of desire, but the foundation of it is expectation. We don't just desire the things that we hope for to come to pass. We expect them to come to pass. You should expect what Jesus Christ promised you to come true. A human analogy. You know, you can hope for this, hope for that, fill in your blank. Hope for all the kind of things you hope for that never come to fruition. But I mean, even in this world, there are some things that we can expect. If you order something, an item of whatever, you expect it to come. You've ordered it, you've paid for it, they've acknowledged your order, you expect it to come, right? And generally speaking, unless something really weird happens, you get it. You expect it to happen. That is our Catholic hope in the promises of Jesus Christ. Unless something drastic happens, you're going to get it. He's going to fulfill his promises. The only dramatic thing, the drastic thing that can happen is if you fail in your life of faith and obedience. If you turn your back on those promises, that's the only thing that can hinder it. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us this expectation that what he has promised is going to come to fulfillment. That's a Catholic hope. He emphasizes this. He just says, hey, here you go, you got a hope. You know, you should expect something. He goes deeper. He says that our Lord may open our eyes to the hope which he has called us. That are the rich, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. We read things like that in Scripture, and I think we just sort of peruse it. We don't really break it down. What is he saying here? We just talked about how the ascension is God the Father glorifying ultimately the Son, giving him all authority in heaven and on earth, and rightfully so. How awe-inspiring is Jesus Christ? How powerful is he that has authority over everything in heaven and everything on earth? It's not just about what Jesus has. Listen to the Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? That's us, not saints, capital S. In us, in we believers. The riches that Jesus Christ has are our inheritance. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power? Oh yeah, God's all powerful. I know that. I accept that. I appreciate that. The immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. That's where this hope is grounded. Not just in Jesus' power, not just in his immeasurable greatness, but the fact that it has been given to each and one of us by virtue of our baptism. That's kind of hard to get your head around, that you, in union with Christ, have inherited everything that he has. When our Lord Jesus Christ says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth," you, as part of his body, have inherited that same authority. Not, of course, by nature, but by adoption as sons and daughters of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of this hope. That is why the expectation of what he has promised coming to fulfillment is ought to be unquestionable in our minds. I sure don't feel like I have a big inheritance. I sure don't feel like I have immeasurable greatness, because my life's pretty well trashed, or my family's pretty well trashed, or I have loved ones or friends who are dying and suffering horribly. I don't feel like I've been given all these gifts. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to let us know. You do have these gifts. And in times of trial, when things are not going well for you spiritually or physically or relationally, whatever, those trials should be looked upon with the focus on our ultimate inheritance. Not something that we inherit after we die, but something that we have right here and now as individual Christians. You, at this very moment, no matter how bad you think things may be, in whatever context, you have the riches of his glorious inheritance, and you have the immeasurable greatness of his power. Not because I say so, not because the Catholic Church says so, not because some creed or some church document has said so in the past. The Holy Spirit, God Almighty himself, says so. You have a glorious inheritance, and you have immeasurable greatness in Christ Jesus. That should make any trial that you, I was going to say may, will face in this world pale into insignificance. It does not mean it will go away at all. It doesn't mean you're not going to have them, because I just said you will be confronted with such trials. But how we persevere through them is to understand this immeasurable greatness that we have as an inheritance of being in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that as individuals, and we have it collectively as a church. The last thing Paul says in that prayer is that he has placed Jesus Christ as head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. I have, over the past readings for the past couple weeks, emphasized this whole idea of our union with Christ and his church. How we do not have membership in it. We are members of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, which is the body of Christ. The Catholic Church is the body of Christ. No other that claims the title. It is a divine institution that he has placed in this world. It is concrete and objective. It is not spiritual. The one holy Catholic and apostolic church is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being part of it should give us such a glorious sense of comfort when we see and think about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven, because where the head goes, the body must follow. Where the head is gone, the body is called to follow. Our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in heaven. This is not a decapitated body. We are still connected to our head. We are currently seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That is that immeasurable greatness, that thing we cannot get our heads around. We can't fathom it. The fact that right here and right now, you are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Not future tense. Where he has gone up, you will go. I said, even during these events, God teaches us. He teaches us. One of the foremost ways that our God speaks to us is through his holy angels. This event was attended by angels, and two of them hung back after our Lord's ascended into heaven. They're sitting there looking at all the disciples and the apostles. Can you imagine the looks on their faces, gazing up into heaven? And these angels, men, why are you staring up into heaven? Because right now you're just looking up into the sky. He will come again, just as he left. That expectation that I talked about before. Men of heaven, why? You've got business to take care of now. Go do it. Walk away from this place expecting, knowing that he will come again, just as he has left. We have part and parcel, individually and as a church, in the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also have, as a church, everything that Jesus Christ has. Think about that when he said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. The body of Christ, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church that is the body of Christ, who is limitless, eternal, and bears all authority. If the head has that, the body has to have it also. Well, it sure doesn't look like the Catholic Church has limitless, eternal, and all authority over everything. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. What the Catholic Church teaches, limitless, immeasurable, that immeasurable greatness, it is truly limitless. No one of us can ever get everything that the Catholic Church has worked through in her 2,000 years. The teachings of the church are limitless. I always love people. You know, I've never understood this. I didn't know that. Well, the moment you ever think that you got it all down, please come in and tell me. All right? The depths of the Catholic Church are limitless because it's the body of Jesus Christ. It is eternal. It is eternal. As bad as things may get, and we may get forced back into the catacombs again. We may be relegated to celebrating mass in houses again. Watch the news, all right? They do really hate you because they hated him first. We may be relegated to that, but the Catholic Church isn't going anywhere because it's the body of Christ and it is eternal. It will always be here because that means until the end of all things. No. Because at the end of all things, this place is going to be recreated and it's going to be populated by members of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is eternal and it does bear all authority. When you witness to your friends and your family members who have fallen away, who are naysayers or belligerent, you speak, so long as you speak for the church, the scriptures, the traditions of the church, and the eternal magisterium of the church, if you utter those words, they bear the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, let's not act like everybody that has authority gets listened to. You know, little kids, you know, their parents have authority over them. What's the first thing little kids say? No. Kids will buck their parents' authority. We flaunt authority of government in this world. We flaunt the authority of the church. It doesn't mean that the authority doesn't exist. And it doesn't mean there's not consequences that will be, where there will be a reckoning There will be a reckoning for those who do not hear the authority of the Catholic Church. So let God take care of that. We don't have to worry about it. But the Catholic Church does bear all authority in heaven and on earth. What, in heaven? The scriptures say that when we get to heaven, you will judge angels. I'm just saying. The Catholic Church has the authority of Jesus Christ because it is Jesus Christ. It is his body, and you're part of it. This is what makes the ascension so practical, and not just practical, but so comforting for us as believers. We should derive the comfort from the words of our Savior before he ascended. We should even more so derive comfort from the act in and of itself where he was ascended, that proved beyond any doubt whatsoever that his words were true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.